Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know, the leaves on
what's
the
up,
trees
what's up,
falling.
Everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging out with you. And well, what a perverse Wall Street we have. It's always amazing to watch and see how markets react to different things, and to see how we can see things trade and see markets move for no particular reason. I think it's quite interesting to try to, you know, the brightest people in the world have tried to figure out what makes Wall Street tick. And you know, we always try to tell you that there is no telling on what the news will do and how the markets will react to that news. So now we're in a week where we're seeing the markets once again plow ahead forward into the crappiest of crap economic data. The continuation of earnings suck. Roll on. And of course, markets move higher anyways. And the point there, and what you have to take from this, is that it doesn't matter. Okay? This is what you have to understand and learn from what we're seeing now, is that the markets are going to do what the markets are going to do. If you try to fight them, if you try to tell the markets what to do, you will typically end up in a crapper. Okay, now, you know, it's interesting when you try to outguess the market, but investors and money managers, you know, they're not necessarily looking at this data the same way you're looking at it. They're looking at or trying to, as they say, forward look into the markets. And that's why I love when people say, well, the market's wrong. Okay, because the market itself is never wrong. Okay, when did we believe that we were smarter than the market? You know, it's always amazing in any form of risk or, you know, gambling, you know, depending on how you want to phrase it, you have markets or games that people think they're smarter than, and they understand the human emotion. And what we have to understand is that there is no true understanding of human emotion, because you don't know how we're going to react to different circumstances as you move forward. And that is something that I always want you to recognize, is don't try to be smarter than the market. Learn how to use the market to your benefit. Learn how to react to markets, and learn how to interpret the footprint that the markets leave. Because like everything else in life, markets leave a footprint. Okay? You know, if you just compare what's going on in life, in your own life, you know, everything leaves a footprint. You know, you have a fight. Okay, that's a footprint. You know, what's going to happen and how you're going to react to that. And reaction is what it's about, and learning to work through or around within the framework is the importance. Okay. You know, I'm teaching an options class, and, you know, what I'm teaching is that even if you have everything right, you have to still construct the trade properly. And that is something that, you know, many of us don't understand either, is it's the proper construction for the proper time and for the proper situation. Okay, so, you know, there are always different ways to react to the same information. And your job is to figure out how the reactors are reacting and react to them. Because if you look at news, if you look at information, you know, for example, on Tuesday, we had the USDA report. Now, I didn't think it would be much. And of course, it really wasn't, except for the soybean market, which exploded. And I've said that emotions have no place in it, and that, you know, farmers and producers should not pay close attention. In fact, I wrote a blog, don't pay attention to that guy behind the screen, because I think, in my opinion, that was just a final blow off in this particular market for this particular time. And that is something that I always look at, okay, to try to give me the upper hand to make the best reaction that I can make to the market. Because again, what we're really looking at is the ability to react to what's going on instead of trying to predict it. Because if we try to predict, typically we will be wrong, because you don't have all the facts. You don't understand the emotion behind what is being created. So when I say to you, you know, it's easy. Well, it is easy to react to a footprint. It's not always easy to be right, but being right and putting yourself in the best position are not necessarily the same thing. Okay. One of the things we have to understand about trading and investing is that we're not always going to make money, but if we always repeat the process and put on the proper trade for that circumstance, then we will, in a sense, be putting ourselves in a higher mathematical probability model, which at the end is all we can really hope to do, is put ourselves in a model that gives us the highest and the best opportunity to be successful. Okay. And that is something that many don't understand, but it's something that needs to be learned, because all said and done, that's where you really find out where you are as far as a trader and an investor, is how you react to frustrations and disappointments that show up, because they're going to show up. I mean, again, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. There are going to be times of disappointment. There are going to be times that you didn't do the right thing. But at that point, it's okay, because all we're trying to do is find ourselves in the best position on a regular basis, a mathematical favorite, a high probability favorite. Anyways, check out my boys at Thinkorswim. You know, every day they do swim lessons, 12:30. They have the wading pool at 3:30. Every day at Thinkorswim, they're teaching. They're trying to get you so that you can be in the class of making money. Because obviously it does everybody good if you make money. But check out my friends Kevin and Scott, as they give lessons and they teach stocks, options, futures, only with the idea to try to give you the best chance to be successful. Their platform is, in my opinion, one of the most user-friendly platforms. So I think it's something that is worth checking out. And also, I can help you with getting a better deal. So shoot me an email and I'll help you out. But it's at Thinkorswim, built by traders for traders. You know, when you miss a show, all you have to do is go to libertytalk.fm and download the Bubba Show. Every day it's up there for you. And, you know, we want to make sure that we keep entertaining, educating, and having some fun here. So go check it out at libertytalk.fm. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm going to step out of here for a break, and I will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Be right back.
Sitting on the fence. going to pay the rent.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on and a lot of things that, you know, we just can't quite get the grasp on. And, you know, one of the guys that kind of always sets things in good sense and, you know, it talks about things I think that are, you know, important and makes good points in them is our friend Bill Whittle. And, you know, I don't know. I get frustrated with a lot that goes on. And of course, I know we all do, but some things are just so illogical. But let's go listen to Bill Whittle talk about President Obama's trip to Europe. Here we go.
President Obama just returned from an overseas visit trying to convince Britain and Germany to sign his trade deal and generally butting into European politics in a way that many had not expected when President Peace Prize descended from heaven to give the world the new, improved, smart diplomacy. Now, the latest international disaster occurred in Great Britain, where the president gave a speech urging the UK to remain in the European Union, despite warnings from many quarters that such intrusion into the idea of the Brexit, that'd be the British exit from the EU, well, that would be less than appreciated. President Stupid went and did it anyway, prompting this reporter to ask the following question.
Do you have any sympathy with people who think this is none of your business?
That's from the left-wing BBC, of all people. London Mayor Boris Johnson called the president's remarks ridiculous and weird. Queen Elizabeth apparently asked him not to make the pro-EU speech that he just went on to make, with President Golfcart telling Britain that if it left the EU, it would move to the back of the queue as far as America was concerned. Well, the important things got done anyway. You know, wouldn't it be nice if all President's smart diplomacy had done during his administration was just destroy the special relationship between the United States and our best friend in the world, a catastrophe that began in his first days in office when he shipped the British gift of a bust of Winston Churchill back to England before it even unpacked his bags. Yes, but that would simply be a disaster. President Catastrophe has damaged relations with all of our European partners who've said quietly, and lately not so quietly, that they are astounded at his arrogance and his naivete. Russia gets more aggressive with us every day. They flew attack jets within 25 feet of a U.S. Navy vessel, and no doubt they're awaiting the strongly worded letter in reply. As a matter of fact, when we were first introduced to the miracle of smart diplomacy, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton presented the Russian foreign minister with a gag red button for him to push, a button marked reset in order to reset the new smart diplomacy. But that button was mistranslated. So let's make sure we understand this correctly. When President Failure's U.S. State Department on worldwide television debuted the new smart diplomacy, they had one Russian word to translate correctly, and they got that one word wrong. Meanwhile, China's building man-made islands in the South China Sea and warning U.S. and allied warships to stay away from their new territory. In Libya, Muammar Gaddafi, who turned over his nuclear and chemical weapons program the day after U.S. forces pulled Saddam Hussein from his hiding place, well, Gaddafi was overthrown and Libya became such a chaotic bloodbath that U.S. forces found themselves aiding al-Qaeda on the battlefield. And after months of begging for additional security, Ambassador Chris Stevens and three other Americans died as Obama and Hillary watched from a drone on TV. Then they ordered the rescue attempt to stand down, and then both of them lied to the American people, telling them that the Benghazi attack on 9/11 was all the result of an obscure YouTube video. President Failure backed the overthrow of pro-American Hosni Mubarak in Egypt, handing the country over to the Muslim Brotherhood. He then stumbled, backing over his own red line in Syria, allowing the Russians to come to his rescue and, incidentally, allowing the Russians to achieve major player status in the Middle East overnight after decades of effective, non-smart diplomacy sidelining of the Russians. President Failure could not, or would not, conclude a simple status of forces agreement in Iraq, so American troops walked away. Actually, they were ordered to walk away from a hard-won victory and allowed the last vestiges of the ravaged and defeated AQI, that'd be Al-Qaeda in Iraq, to recover in the absence of American strength just enough to rename itself ISIS. And now that we've created the Iraq war defeat that President Failure and his treason party had promised the American people, we are quietly sending more troops back to Iraq and to Syria and Libya and Afghanistan, all to try to make up the ground that President Failure has not just lost but actually thrown away. And of all the things that Barack Obama did to damage this country overseas, it's the one thing that he didn't do that's the most heartbreaking. Because back in 2009, the people of Iran rose up against the murderers and fanatics that had been running their lives, demanding freedom and democracy. The mullahs were teetering on the brink for months. A mere word from the President of the United States in support would have encouraged them the way that President Reagan encouraged Eastern Europeans to overthrow their communist tyrants. You know, it was the only time during eight catastrophic years that President Obama didn't have a single thing to say. So, now the sanctions on Iran are lifted. Billions of dollars of funds have been freed for more terrorist massacres, and the Iranians have cheated on President Gullible's treaty before the ink's even dry. President Catastrophe has called the Israeli Prime Minister chicken shit, while his and his former Secretary of State and currently his likely successor, both of their closest advisors are Iranian. So there's nothing to deter these Iranian fanatics' nuclear ambitions now other than the speed of their centrifuges. Oh, and by the way, barking mad North Korea is reported to have developed a hydrogen bomb and has just launched a ballistic missile from a submarine. This is Obama and his smart diplomacy, the top secret details of which have been leaked to whoever might be curious as a result of the criminal arrogance of Hillary Clinton, former Secretary of State and the Treason Party's presidential nominee, who cut and pasted top secret and above top secret information onto a server in a bathroom in an apartment in New York City in order to escape Freedom of Information Act requests regarding the Clinton Foundation. Oh, we're going to pay for this, and so are our kids. And so will their kids.
And, of course, he makes good sense. Again, whether you agree or disagree with his political views, I think you have to think about some of the things that we have seen happen in this country. I think we have to kind of understand and look at where we've gone. And, of course, if you remember, we were promised change and I don't think we all wanted, in my opinion, change for the worse. I think that's what we've gotten is a change for the worse. I think that we have seen a lot of destruction, not only with the country, with our currency, with our relationships, and even possibly with the fear or the power that we wield. I think that you have to understand, you know, where we are and where we're going. And I don't think the current administration has any clue. I think that this has become rampant within the United States, within our Fed and our government and, you know, many of the other things that we see that really nobody has a clue. Okay. And I think that becomes a bigger problem. I mean, it's amazing that we're still screwing around with Hillary Clinton and her emails and Benghazi and all the other things. I mean, what takes so long to either say she's guilty or she's not guilty? Again, I think she's guilty. I think she's a crook. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Why is it that we can't get to that decision? Why is it we cannot get to where we need to be with everything? You know, we are, after all, not only the best country in the world, but the most powerful nation in the world. So where is it that we can't seem to get where we need to get? And that, again, becomes a bigger problem in my mind, is where we are and what we're doing right now. That, I think, is the problem. That is the concern that we should have, okay? Not only do we have an economic shambles, we have a relationship shambles. We've alienated a lot of our closer allies. And, you know, it seems to me that we're opening ourselves up to a dramatic beatdown from somebody, because you know that there's a lot that just would love to just, you know, kill us. I mean, let's face it. I mean, you know, if North Korea or Iraq had the bomb, okay, that they could get here, they would probably launch it. So I don't know. I just think, you know, we have to do a lot of soul searching, a lot of thinking about where we are, because at the end of the day, the overall picture is bleak. And I'm not talking about the markets. I'm talking about in general. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you go to BubbaTrading.com. Check out some of the things we're doing. Again, we're in it to win it. We're in it for you. So if you check it out, we've got a lot of great programs for you. But you'll love the show. Want to listen to it more? Go to LibertyTalk.fm and download the podcast version every day. We do have over 200,000 downloaders a month now. We'd like to get to 3 and then to 3 million. But this is the Bubba, Show, Todd Bob Horowitz. We will step out of here for a break, and we will be right back. Don't go anywhere. The Bubba Show, Todd Bob Horowitz, will be right back after the break.
In other words...
Trust. For nearly 4 decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And you know, on every Wednesday morning now, I do a commentary with RFD Radio. And I'm going to share that with you because I tape it in into my show. So let's go check out my friend Marlon Bowling at RFD Radio XM 147. Let's go check him out. Here we go.
With BubbaTrading.com. That was an eventful day there, Todd. I hope you survived it well and are girded for a battle today here on the markets. Just wondered what you expect to see, if we're going to have follow-through or if they're going to take some of that back.
Hey, Marlon, you know, I'll tell you, it caught me a little off guard. I really had felt that a lot of the action was priced in. I was not surprised that we had a big move. I did not think that it would be up, but it was really... interesting when you look at the overall move. It was really, it looked to me like a little bit more short covering in the beans. Corn, although that rallied, really was not very strong and is not anywhere near its most recent high. And wheat continues to trade along the bottom edge of that big solid consolidation. I don't think we're going to get follow through. I think we've seen, I'm going to say that, you know, I think we've seen near the highs for the time being. Now, overall, I'm still very bullish the grain space. But I think that they certainly, in soybeans, certainly need some sort of sell-off, I think, to make them stronger. I think this parabolic rise we've seen over the last 5 or 6 weeks has been just too far, too fast. And that always reminds me of short squeeze people, usually speculators that are in there. And I hope that our friends, the farmers and producers, liquidated a lot of that stuff that was in storage. Because, as you know, we've been talking about this for quite a while, that don't be in a hurry to sell when they were down in the eights. But now that we're in the mid tens, it's a good place to take some of that stuff off the table now. So hopefully they've done that. I do expect this market not to follow through. I do expect to see some selling. Now, obviously, I don't think we're going straight down. I think we're going to see some churning action. And I think the real key here is if the markets can hold up here and consolidate, then certainly then we're not done with going up. But they could consolidate and break to the downside or just go down. And we've seen some, you know, relatively decent action overnight. I mean, we're now down on corn and we're now, you know, flat on beans. So we'll see how they trade out the rest of the day. You know, this is still early. It's, you know, we're still at the early polling booths here. But I think you'll see some pressure here. And within the next day or two, I think we'll see some significant pressure. And I think we'll start to see the markets turn the other way for a little bit.
All right, so if they do stabilize where they are, they don't happen to move very much this morning. Are you talking to guys about adding to some scale upselling at this point?
Yeah, I think that this is if you're in storage, you have to take some of the money off here. You can see by the pattern that a lot more of this is a squeeze in July, and although Novi is participating, certainly not at the same level. Plus the fact that if you're not hedging now and now locking in, you know, a 10-20, 10-30 basis now, I think that's a mistake. I think this is where, you know, we have a very funny thing about markets, and it doesn't matter what market you're in, but fear and greed always take over. You know, and 8 weeks ago, everybody's afraid, and now, you know, now the big chest comes out, and we're getting a little greedy because they're going straight up. And this is where you have to say, hey, you know, I got to understand what my costs are, where I'm at, and I've got to get some of this money off the table because, you know, it's a long year, in, as you know, in the business. And if you're not protecting yourself, it becomes a much more challenging business. And I think this is a time that you've got to start locking in a higher basis. I mean, I believe in doing it all the time, but certainly up in here, even if we're going higher. So you give up a slight bit of your upside movement, but you can still lock in a basis and participate to the upside. And that's where I think most farmers and producers make the key and crucial error, is they get a little bit greedy when we get up here. Like I said, any other market, they're all the same. Greed and fear are the two emotions that always play out. And as you saw 10 days ago in the cattle markets, they crushed them in the cash markets because there was too much fear. And now we're seeing in the soybeans markets that there looks like a little bit too much greed. And I think that markets tend to at least revert back to what we call the mean. And the mean is certainly lower than where we are here. And I think at worst case, you will see these markets revert back. And I think that you're looking at some, you know, reasonable selling. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see us. I'm still looking, believe it or not, to see in the high nines before we resume this rally. So I'm looking for a little bit more significant selling. I wouldn't just go out and get short here. However, I did personally sell as a trader into that big rally yesterday. So that's what I'm looking at.
All right. Well, Todd, we're going to pause for a break, and I'll bring you back, and we'll talk more about the markets in a little bit. Our special guest, Todd Horwitz. Good morning to you. Thanks for joining us on the morning edition of Commodity Wrap here on Rural Radio, Sirius XM 147. Now, we are talking with Todd Horwitz. I'm Marlon Bowling. Zach Hoffman is running the board for us today. Todd Horwitz is with BubbaTrading.com. Now, what we've been talking about is the impact of that USDA crop production and supply and demand report yesterday, and the numbers that Todd was talking about on the soybean stockpiles for the current marketing year. USDA projects 400 million bushels, and the trade was looking for 428 leftover. For next marketing year, USDA says soybeans at only 305 million leftover, and the trade was looking for 427, so that was a big drop. And then if you look at the world carryouts, soybeans only 68.2 million metric tons when the trade was looking for 73.4, so that was 5 million short right there. And then, Todd, we also had a reduction in the Brazilian soybean production from their own agency. USDA dropped their estimate by a million metric tons, but CONAB from Brazil reduced their own estimate for soybean production there from 99 million tons down to 96.9. That was all coming out at about the same time as the USDA reports yesterday. So there was a lot of coal that they threw on the fire yesterday for the soybean trade for a bullish trend, I guess.
You know, I, of course, they certainly did. And, you know, you always wonder, you know, did some of that get created, you know, just to push the prices higher? And, you know, again, it's always interesting. I haven't seen for quite a while a report miss by that far, which is obviously why we had the big reaction. But again, I think one of the things you always have to remember is that, you know, if we are correct in what we know, that, you know, markets do what they do, I think that what we saw was more of a short squeeze. And, you know, we did get up limit for a little bit and then finally came off. And I think that was the end of the squealing going on. I think now we'll see what direction they really want to head from here. But again, I do think it's going to be a good year. So I'm happy with the progress. One of the things I always worry about, though, is we went up just a little bit too fast, and that is very hard to sustain those types of rallies. So I am concerned about that.
Now, the dollar value is down about 300 points at last check here this morning. Is that significant today, or does anybody care at this point?
I don't think anybody really cares right now. I think we've gotten away from worrying about the dollar all the time, because the dollar now obviously is down, you know, 6 or 7% from when it was making its highs earlier in the year. I think that the dollar will become a concern again when the Fed starts talking interest rates and when we start seeing the potential for a rise, because that will obviously strengthen the dollar. But right now, the dollar is going to be weaker because we now have established that the Fed is 99% not going to raise rates this year, which will keep the dollar weak, which is what they're trying to do, because they're trying to figure out any way to increase our exports, which would obviously help everybody. But they're trying to do it at the cost and the expense of the dollar, which is, you know, never a good sign, in my opinion, when you have to financially engineer or manipulate something to try to create value.
Todd, thanks for all the insight into the markets today. Excellent, excellent stuff. Well, I tell you what, if you want a terrific guy to talk to about the markets, some excellent advice and guidance, get in touch with Todd Horowitz, and you can find out a ton of information about the markets on his website. Just go to BubbaTrading.com. Check it out. And if you talk to him, tell him Marlin sent you. We'll be back with more Commodity Wrap right after.
And, of course, that was me with my friends from RFD Radio. As you know, I do RFD TV. But the message I want you to take from what we did there is that at the end of it, all markets are the same. You see, did you notice that, you know, he tried to ask, you know, some very pointed questions about specifics, and I kept going back to, well, you know, this is what the markets do. Why do I have to worry about Brazil or whatever? Because at the end of the day, those are not things that we have to worry about. That becomes the bigger picture, because markets are markets no matter what you're trading. And the ability for a free market society is something that, you know, that we are lacking. But when markets are given free to themselves, and we saw it yesterday in all the markets, but the beans, the free markets were pushing markets to limits. And in corn and in wheat, they weren't participating quite as much. And those are things that we always have to recognize and remember that are part of what we do, okay, in the trading and investing world. Nothing changes. No product is any different than any other. There is no hot trade out there, right? I mean, there may be a hot stock, there may be a hot commodity, but at the end of the day, they all end up doing the same thing. They go up and they go down, and the idea is to find the correct footprint that allows you the benefit of the going up and the going down. And that is something that we always want to make sure that you understand, whether you're a farmer, producer, equity trader, whatever you're trading, every market is the same. Okay. And that is important to understand, because what you're really trying to understand and read from your market is the footprint that is being left from whatever it is that you are trading. Make sure you check out our friends at Thinkorswim. You know, they have those swim lessons every day. And I'm telling you, it's a great user-friendly platform, something that I urge you to check out. See my friends Kevin and Scott over there when they're doing the swim lessons. You need some help getting set up, just shoot me an email or go to BubbaTrading.com and click their icon on their website. Again, I'm a user. I believe in them. I think that they do a great job. And again, user-friendly. When you miss an episode of the Bubba Show, though, you got to go to LibertyTalk.fm and get hooked up. Okay, because we're trying to build a major network, and obviously we love doing it. We love having you here. We're going to step out here for a break, and we'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back to the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And boy, did we cover we covered it all today. We had we talked about politics. We talked about some business. We talked about some agricultural stuff, and here we are. And we didn't solve the problems of the world, but you know, there are a lot of issues out there. And but always remember that the United States is still the best place there is, and that as although we bitch and we complain, you know, it's nice about that, we have the right to do that. And only in America can you really get away with that. But I mean, obviously there are a lot of things to do. We have enormous amounts of problems, and hopefully when we get the new president in office, a lot of those will change. I do believe that we have just gone through the worst 8 years in history with a president that has no regard for anybody, anything but himself. I do believe that has become the most antagonistic, and I also believe, as what I said last segment, is that he has not only pissed off our allies, but he's encouraged our enemies. And I find that to be problems, and very problematic. But, you know, that is just part of what's going wrong in the country. I cannot blame Mr. Obama himself. Again, he's a big part of it. But you cannot, obviously, it's never one man or one decision, okay? There is many to blame, including the Republican National Committee. And again, if you don't think that politics plays into business, I think you have to think again, because it plays directly into business. Because if it wasn't for the political wheel, there wouldn't be the Federal Reserve, and the Federal Reserve would not be pumping in money trying to devalue your currency and take you down to the basically to the poorhouse. Now, obviously, they're not taking us to the poorhouse, so to speak, but certainly within their desire to create an economy that is socialism, not capitalism. And, you know, I wonder, what is wrong with capitalism? What is wrong with competition? What is wrong with, you know, as you used to say, if you'd ever hire somebody on spec, you would say, well, you get to eat what you kill. In other words, if you sell something, that's where you make your money. What happened to that as part of the American way of life? Okay. What happened to being able to, you know, go out and, you know, listen, you can become a billionaire. What's wrong with that? I mean, obviously, there's only one problem with it. It's not me. But if you're capable of doing that, why is that a problem? Why do we find, first of all, the need to apologize for those who are not? Why did we decide that the world is entitled to entitlements? I mean, we've seen this method fail everywhere. Why do we think this is going to be different? Okay. Why do we think our policies are better than others when they've done the same thing over and over again? That is where I have to draw the line in the big scheme of life, is that you can't, things don't change. People don't change. Markets don't change. Emotion doesn't change. Okay. So where is it that capitalism became the bad thing? Okay. I mean, you know, America, the land of opportunity, was a place you came to escape to and give yourself that chance and that opportunity to get to that next level. Okay. That's why people come here, is so they can be capitalists and grow and not have to give all their money away. So why is it that we find more ways to tax and make everybody equal? We are not all equal, okay? We're all human beings, okay? But some of us are smarter, some of us are better, some of us are luckier. It doesn't matter, okay? Where is it? Why shouldn't I, if I'm good at it, benefit from what I can do, okay? Steve Jobs built Apple, okay? Look at the monstrosity that turned out to be, okay? Why should he have to give away his fortune because of that? Okay, Warren Buffett, you know, again, I'm not a fan, but I can't take away his success. Why shouldn't he benefit? Okay, why should, but of course, you know, he's talking the other side of the face, but at the end of the day, you know, everybody in this country, athletes, why shouldn't they get $400 million if they can? Look, again, the only problem with that is it's not me getting it, but why shouldn't LeBron James make $1 billion in his career? Okay, look, if you can get it, why not? That's the point. Okay, where else can a guy like Ralph Wilson, okay, who has obviously passed away, but the old ex-owner of the Buffalo Bills that came out of the AFL at a franchise that he paid $25,000 for in, you know, 1958 or 1960, whatever it was. When he died, it was valued at over $1 billion. Why is that a problem? That's what I don't understand, is why we have to be so highly taxed and regulated when you're successful. I mean, it kind of takes the desire or the wanting to be extra successful out of the equation. I mean, you know, capitalism is a great thing. It creates competition. It typically would create better people. I got news for you. If you were strictly capitalistic, you wouldn't have all those people protesting on Moral Monday. Okay. They'd have to have a job. Okay. They wouldn't be getting that free money to sit home and go out and protest. Half them people are paid protesters anyways. I mean, you know, what if you think about this, what's the angle of paying a protester to protest? Well, you know, if you look at the Al Sharpton's of the world, they make a lot of money on people out protesting. Okay. What do you think? He's a no good. I mean, yet he spends a lot of time at the White House, doesn't pay his taxes, doesn't do anything any good, but he gets invited to the White House a lot. Okay. Jesse Jackson, what does he do that's any good? Okay. But again, everybody's got a purpose. There's an agenda behind all these great things that we're seeing. Okay, no different than the unions. What do you think? You know, unions, when they were put into place, were great. Okay, they needed to be there. Same as minimum wage. There was a purpose for them. But now, the only purpose is to get money. Okay? I mean, think about it. If you're in a union, you're paying massive dues. And, yeah, you get more money. But at the end, you end up paying more to the union. Okay? And why should somebody be protected because of tenure if they're not doing a job? You know, I always have a problem with that because I believe in a free market economy and a free market business, and I believe that, you know, if somebody's not doing a job, why should I have to keep them employed? Okay? It allows us to become lazy, and I don't like being lazy, okay? And I certainly don't want to work hard for somebody to be home and be lazy that I have to help fund. I think that's a bigger problem. Okay, so again, I ask the question, what is wrong with capitalism? Why does everybody despise the capitalistic model? I don't get it. I mean, I think that, again, to me, yes, it creates greed. It creates some bad things, but moreover, it creates a lot of better things, and it keeps everybody alive for the opportunity that they can do better. And what is wrong with that? What is wrong with keeping people's hopes and dreams alive, that they can better themselves and better their family? I find that problematic. I find that troubling. And from my perspective, I wish we would just allow the world to live in a free market and a free society and not have so many restrictions on who you can and cannot hire and what you should, why you can and cannot fire, and let everybody go out and fend for themselves and make the most they can and then help the ones that can't. That would be, to me, a much better model. But for today, that'll do it. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. You miss an episode, you know where to go, libertytalk.fm. Every day, you can download The Bubba Show. But for today, that'll do it. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We will see you back here tomorrow, same time, same station. Very special guest tomorrow. So I hope you can make it in. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We will see you here tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much. We'll see you later at the Bubba Show.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.